Now we come to the profitability ratios. The net profit margin is net income divided by revenue. Analysts should be concerned if this ratio is too low. The net profit margin should be based on net income from continuing operations, because analysts should be primarily concerned about future expectations, and below-the-line items, such as discontinued operations, will not affect the company in the future. Operating profitability ratios look at how good management is at turning their efforts into profits. Operating ratios compare the top of the income statement, sales, to profits. The different ratios are designed to isolate specific costs. You should know these terms and how they relate to the income statement. Gross profits equal net sales minus cost of goods sold. Operating profits equal earnings before interest and taxes. Net income equals earnings after taxes but before dividends. Total capital equals long-term debt plus short-term debt plus common and preferred equity. Total capital equals total assets. The gross profit margin is the ratio of gross profit, sales less cost of goods sold, to sales. Gross profit margin equals gross profit divided by revenue. An analyst should be concerned if this ratio is too low. The operating profit margin is the ratio of operating profit, or gross profit less selling, general, and administrative expenses, to sales. Operating profit is also referred to as earnings before interest and taxes, or EBIT. Operating profit margin equals operating income divided by revenue, or EBIT divided by revenue. Strictly speaking, EBIT includes some non-operating items, such as gains on investment. The analyst, as with other ratios with various formulations, must be consistent in his calculation method and know how published ratios are calculated. Analysts should be concerned if this ratio is too low. Some analysts prefer to calculate the operating profit margin by adding back depreciation and any amortization expense to arrive at earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, or EBITDA. Sometimes profitability is measured using earnings before tax, which can be calculated by subtracting interest from EBIT or from operating earnings. The pre-tax margin is calculated as earnings before tax divided by revenues. Another set of profitability ratios measure profitability relative to funds invested by common stockholders, preferred stockholders, and suppliers of debt financing. The first of these measures is the return on assets, or ROA. Typically, ROA is calculated using net income. ROA equals net income divided by average total assets. This measure is a bit misleading, however, because interest is excluded from net income, but total assets include debt as well as equity. Adding interest adjusted for tax back to net income puts the returns to both equity and debt holders in the numerator. This results in an alternative calculation for ROA. Return on assets equals net income plus interest expense times 1 minus the tax rate divided by average total assets. A measure of return on assets that includes both taxes and interest in the numerator is the operating return on assets, which equals operating income divided by average total assets, or EBIT divided by average total assets. The return on total capital is the ratio of net income before interest expense to total capital. Return on total capital equals EBIT divided by average total capital. Total capital includes short and long-term debt, preferred equity, and common equity. Analysts should be concerned if this ratio is too low. Total capital is the same as total assets. The interest expense that should be added back is gross interest expense, not net interest expense, which is gross interest expense less interest income. An alternative method for computing the return on total capital is to include the present value of operating leases on the balance sheet as a fixed asset and as a long-term liability. This adjustment is especially important for firms that depend on operating leases as a major form of financing. The return on equity, or ROE, is the ratio of net income to average total equity, including preferred stock. It is sometimes called return on total equity. Return on equity equals net income divided by average total equity. Analysts should be concerned if this ratio is too low. A similar ratio to the return on equity is the return on common equity, which equals net income minus preferred dividends divided by average common equity, or net income available to common divided by common equity. This ratio differs from the return on total equity in that it only measures the accounting profits available to and the capital invested by common stockholders instead of common and preferred stockholders. That is why preferred dividends are deducted from net income in the numerator. Analysts should be concerned if this ratio is too low. The return on common equity is often more thoroughly analyzed using the DuPont decomposition, which is described later in this topic review. The next LOS asks us to describe relationships among ratios and evaluate a company using ratio analysis. This is best done by example with financial statements, which are not readily presentable in an audio format. We provide such an example in our printed notes. The point to remember here is that an analyst needs to compare the calculated ratios to the company's past performance and to the industry's performance, and interpret the results to draw conclusions about the company's performance and outlook. Our next LOS is to demonstrate the application of DuPont analysis of return on equity and calculate and interpret effects of changes in its components. The DuPont system of analysis is an approach that can be used to analyze return on equity, or ROE. It uses basic algebra to break down ROE into a function of different ratios, so an analyst can see the impact of leverage, profit margins, and turnover on shareholder returns. There are two variants of the DuPont system, the original three-part approach and the extended five-part system. For the original approach, start with ROE, defined as net income divided by equity. Average or year-end values for equity can be used. Multiplying ROE by revenue divided by revenue, multiplying these terms by assets divided by assets, and rearranging terms produces the following equation. Return on equity equals net income divided by sales times sales divided by assets times assets divided by equity. The first term is the profit margin, the second term is asset turnover, and the third term is a financial leverage ratio that will increase as the use of debt financing increases. So the equation can also be stated as return on equity equals net profit margin times asset turnover times leverage ratio. This is the original DuPont equation. It is arguably the most important equation in ratio analysis, since it breaks down a very important ratio, ROE, into three components. If ROE is relatively low, it must be that at least one of the following is true. The company has a poor profit margin, the company has poor asset turnover, or the firm has too little leverage. The extended or five-way DuPont equation takes the net profit margin and breaks it down further. The extended DuPont equation is return on equity equals net income divided by earnings before taxes times earnings before taxes divided by EBIT times EBIT divided by revenue times revenue divided by total assets times total assets divided by total equity. Note that the first term in the three-part DuPont equation, net profit margin, has been decomposed into three terms. Net income divided by earnings before taxes is called the tax burden and is equal to 1 minus the tax rate. Earnings before taxes divided by EBIT is called the interest burden. EBIT divided by revenue is called the EBIT margin. We then have return on equity equals tax burden times interest burden times EBIT margin times asset turnover times financial leverage. An increase in interest expense as proportion of EBIT will increase the interest burden, which means it will decrease the interest burden ratio. Increases in either the tax burden or the interest burden, that is, decreases in these ratios, will tend to decrease ROE. EBIT in the second two expressions can be replaced by operating earnings. In this case, we have the operating margin rather than the EBIT margin. The interest burden term would then show the effects of non-operating income as well as the effect of interest expense. Note that in general, high profit margins, leverage, and asset turnover will lead to high levels of ROE. However, this version of the formula shows that more leverage does not always lead to higher ROE. As leverage rises, so does the interest burden. Hence, the positive effects of leverage can be offset by the higher interest payments that accompany more debt. Note that higher taxes will always lead to lower levels of ROE.